The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out you are not allowed to criticize. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's installment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, June the 14th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled All Asimov and No Fresh Air. And the time is 9:19 a.m., now 9:20 a.m. here in London, making it, 4:20 a.m. on the east coast of America and 1:20 on the west coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. Okay, so today's show title, All Asimov and No Fresh... Today's show title, All Asimov and No Fresh Air, is the title of the brand new album by Half Man, Half Biscuit, which came out yesterday, Friday the 13th, which I believe was in no way coincidental, being as the first track on the album is called Horror Clowns Are Dickheads, that they released on YouTube a couple of weeks ago, that track, and the link to it will be available in the post for this show at achshow.com. And Half Man, Half Biscuits, All Asimov and No Fresh Air is probably the only new album I have ever talked about. As you know, whenever I talk about music, films or television, I'm generally talking about something that was released decades ago. Oh, and as for breaking Hitchcock's law of never buying any media that came out after 2013, Half Man, Half Biscuit are probably my only exception. And a very reasonable one they are, based upon the fact that they have only released 3 albums in the last 10 years. The price of a CD every 3 years or so is something I'm quite willing to continue doing until them or I expire. I have to say, if the album title All Asimov and No Fresh Air is a joke, it's got by me, I'm afraid. I found 2018's No One Cares About Your Creative Hub, So Get Your Fucking Hedge Cut far easier to understand. As for the album, which I played several times yesterday, there is no single song that jumps out and grabs you, but the album grows on you as a whole. The humour and cultural references are there as usual, but I felt the music was more accessible, meaning that someone who didn't understand English will probably enjoy it as a pretty decent rock album. If you have never heard Half Man Half Biscuit, I always recommend 2005's Actung Bono as the best album to start off with and then go on from there, even though for me that's probably got the worst title of any Half Man Half Biscuit album. I still regard it as the best. I believe every track Half Man Half Biscuit have ever done, although not perhaps every track from their new album, is available on their YouTube channel, so they are also very generous with their material. In conclusion, thank you Half Man Half Biscuit for continuing to do what only you can in this your 40th year since your debut album Back in the DHSS, that's Back in the DHSS, was released in 1985. See you in another 3 years or so. Okay, and just a little addendum to this. I, 5 or 6 times, I think I probably listened to it back to back. I didn't get through Thursday Siege the Day because this CD arrived. And I was quite surprised, actually, because I got a notification that it might be coming as late as Friday next week, which I was a bit disappointed because it's great to get an album on its release day. So when I found it in my mailbox, I thought, I thought it was a Blu-ray I'd ordered. But then I realised it was just that little bit too short for a Blu-ray. And I don't think I did, actually. It was only afterwards I realised that. And it's, oh, wow, it's the Half Man, Half Biscuit album. So, yeah, so I've got a little note. I STD 33 minutes. So that's just to remind me that I'm 33 minutes into Thursday's Siege today, which I would have finished yesterday had I not listened to Half Man, Half Biscuit's album five or six times or whatever it was. The reason I'm going back to it is I saved all the tracks. So I played it all those times, and then I went through again, seeing if there was a track that, I think track number four was like, do I want that or don't I? Whatever that's called. And then I liked them all. There was something in them all. So I saved them all. And that's not always the case, because I've got my Half Man, Half Biscuit folder here on my computer. And I can see their last album, The Voltarol Years from 2022, I only saved three tracks from. The previous album to that I mentioned, No One Cares About Your Creative Hub, I'll let you finish the title. I only saved three tracks from that. That was 2018. And it wasn't the album before that was Urge for Offal from 2014, which it looks like I saved all the tracks. And that was a really good album. I can see 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13. Well, there were 13 on this album I just bought. I've saved 13 there. The Bane of Constance, I think, really stood out on that one. And also The Unfortunate Gwatkin, which is pretty funny. I can remember those. So just wanted to throw those in there. And another thing, we will get into news and these sorts of things for you. But I'm going to talk about shows quickly. Because obviously we've had these tit-for-tat strikes with Israel and Iran. And Night Shadows by, I think it's Larry Best and Stuart Taylor, or is it Stuart Best and Larry Taylor? I've been finding them on beforeitsnews.com, and it's a really interesting old-style conspiracy show. And I'll give you yesterday's show title. Night Shadows 0613 2025. Is this Albert Pike's Third War? So I'm thoroughly looking forward to listening to that later. It is on beforeitsnews.com. They have a Rumble channel, but it seems difficult to find on Rumble, because what I started doing is the Rumble channel is called Runty, R-U-N-T-Y, 1940. And I found that when I was putting that into, so for example, I opened up Richie from Boston's Rumble channel and typed in Night Shadows. I typed in Runty 1940 and R-U-N-T-Y 1940, all one word, no spaces, and nothing came up. So I don't know if there's a reason for that, but the best way to get into it is to find them, even if you can't find that. It's called Night Shadows. It's Best and Taylor. Again, the file name that I download, well, the title of the show post on beforeitsnews.com is Night Shadows 0613 2025. Is this Albert Pike's Third World War? When you open up the post, it will give you a screen for Rumble in there that you can play. If you click the Rumble logo below that screen, that'll take you to the Runty 1940 channel, and then you can save the link. And they put shows out, I believe, on a Tuesday evening and a Friday evening, and they had a bonus one this week with they thought everything was kicking off with this insurrection in America with all these leftist riots. So I think they did something on the Saturday or the Sunday. Of course, you have to bear in mind I'm always picking them up the day after, because I never listen live. I download everything. But I've been enjoying listening to those two guys. The other thing I've got for you is I haven't got onto them yet, because what I've been doing is I've been listening to yesterday's Not the BCFM Politics show with Tony Gosling and Martin Summers. And it's just the two of them, which is always the best format. politicsthisweek.gn.apc.org. politicsthisweek.gn.apc.org. I haven't edited anything out. Well, actually, that's not true. If you look at the show posts, you can see it all starts off with them talking about local issues pertaining to Bristol. There's some problems with van dwellers. There's a lot of these people that buy a van and park up on the streets in Bristol. And that's how they live because the property is so expensive. Well, imagine if you lived in a property there and there were, your whole street had vans parked all the way down it with people living in them. Would you prefer to have them there or not? I think I know the answer to that one, how I would feel. So they talked about that. I'm not really interested in that. I waited until they got on to more geopolitical matters. But one thing that Tony Gosling is best known for is the Bilderberg.org website. And that was one of the first conspiracy sites I ever looked at about 25 years ago. And I used to download the membership lists and what have you. Now, the most common name for a website is .com at the end, isn't it? Let's be honest. That's the one that's always the most expensive to buy. For example, I believe that James Mason, because he wrote a book called Siege, he tried to get hold of a website called undersiege.com, and it was something ridiculous like $50,000, but he could get the dot something else for a few dollars. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's something that he referred to on the show. I hope that I'm remembering that correctly. And the reason I mention that is take you back to Bilderberg.org. Well, who's got all the money in the world? It would be something like the Bilderberg Group, wouldn't it? And no, they're not the people at the top of the pyramid. They're just one of the structures that they use. Just like George Soros. When I hear all this stuff, George Soros is done up like, he's like the Bond villain, like the guy from the World Economic Forum. They want to make out that there's this one madman who made a load of money, and not that all your governments are involved in it, and he's just the front man that if we have to blame, we will. And we could even say we, you know, jailed him or whatever we did to him, and there's no guarantee that he's not living the high life somewhere out of public view. So that's my feeling on that. But I digress as usual. Going back to Bilderberg.org, the Bilderberg website is Bilderbergmeetings.org. And I always felt that they chose that because the Bilderberg.org website was the first, you know, Jim Tucker from the American Free Press was writing about them for years, but it was the first internet presence that just focused on Bilderberg that I can remember. And I loved it. And I remember there was one or two years they didn't have, but they had pretty much everything going back to the first conference in, what was it, 1952? Something like that. And I even saved all the lists, and I was going to do a website back then called Y2012, because I believed that the world was going to end in 2012. So you can imagine my delight when the film 2012 came out, and I got to see that beforehand. It was very well filmed, but they don't really refer to it these days. They refer to The Day After Tomorrow by the same director, Roland Emmerich, because 2012 has been and gone, and the events in the film didn't happen, whereas The Day After Tomorrow is about a huge ice age event that sweeps the world, and of course that fits in with their climate change agenda that they can direct people to, you know, what if this is real type of thing. But let's look at, so I've gone to Bilderbergmeetings.org and I've clicked on meeting 25. Now it started Thursday. It's going to go from the 12th to the 15th of June, so till tomorrow. It's in Stockholm, Sweden. The topics for discussion this year are transatlantic relationship, Ukraine, US economy, Europe, Middle East, authoritarian axis, defence innovation and resilience, AI deterrence and national security, proliferation, geopolitics of energy and critical minerals, and the last one is depopulation and migration. I was wrong. It says founded in 1954, the Bilderberg meeting is an annual conference designed to foster dialogue between Europe and North America. Every year, between 120 and 140 political leaders and experts from industry, finance, academia and the media are invited to take part in the meeting. About two-thirds of the participants come from Europe and the rest from North America, approximately a quarter from politics and government, and the rest from other fields. The Bilderberg meeting is a forum for informal discussions about major issues. The meetings are held under the Chatham House rule, which states that participants are free to use the information received, but neither the identity nor the affiliation of the speaker or speakers nor any other participant may be revealed. Thanks to the private nature of the meeting, the participants take part as individuals rather than in any official capacity, and hence are not bound by the conventions of their office or by pre-agreed positions. As such, they can take time to listen, reflect, and gather insights. There is no detailed agenda, no resolutions are proposed, no votes are taken, and no policy statements are issued. Well, that's a matter of opinion, isn't it? So, it's funny, when I clicked on the website, I sort of was getting it up while the opening music was playing, and that's why I was a bit sort of stuttering and that at the start, because everything was in the wrong place. But the reason it was I expected to get right in there, but it went through a cloud flare for ages until I had to put a tick in the box and then it went in. But what I'm after is the participants. So that's the press release that I was just on. If we go back to the top, we see participants 2025, so I'll click on that. And listening to the BCFM politics show that I just mentioned, Tony Gosling and Martin Summers, he's actually got, or he's in touch with a lady who's on the ground out there at the moment, at the hotel, and she was talking about different things going on. The only points that really sort of any interest that was that Wes Streeting from the UK, he's going, and he's regarded as a potential successor to Keir Starmer for the leadership. We know David Lammy was there last year, but he's not been spotted. Someone that was spotted, according to the reporter on the ground from the Not the BCFM Politics show, is Peter Thiel, who looked very annoyed when he wasn't let in because he didn't have his lanyard with him. And even though the security are going to know who they are, apparently they're extremely strict on you have to have your lanyard or you're not coming in. So that was the only sort of person that they mentioned, and Wes Streeting. So I'm going to have a quick look and see if there's any names that jump out. But I suggest that you go over there as well and have a look and see. It says James H. Baker is there, former director, Office of Net Assessment, Department of Defence. That's not the one in the Reagan administration. Surely he'd be passed away long ago, I would imagine. Albert Bourla, I can see. So I'm just, the names are all in alphabetical, so any that I'm familiar with, he's there. And just scrolling down. But as I say, go into this yourself, because there's going to be a lot of people from different countries that I wouldn't have heard of, but you may well have done. Jeremy Hunt, you remember, he ran for the leadership of the Conservative Party and would have been and would then have become Prime Minister as well against Boris Johnson, and he was also Rishi Sunak's Chancellor of the Exchequer. So he's there for some reason, so it doesn't sound like many people would have thought his career was over, but not necessarily the case, and it wouldn't be the first time with him that people have written him off. So anyone else that I can see? Michael O'Leary, I don't think it's the first time he's been there. He's the group CEO of Ryanair, and they've done some very interesting things with air travel over the years, which I don't think is good. You know, the standard years ago, you buy your ticket and you have your hand luggage, you get your hand luggage, you get your weight for your case and all that. And with him, it's like, oh no, this is extra, this is extra. All these things that used to be included are no longer included. And that's why I've always hated Ryanair and never wanted to go with them, because I read so many stories on the internet of people who said, you know, I turned up and I've got to pay this, I've got to pay this, and I've got to pay this. And the ticket's not actually as cheap as it was made out to be, which I think is deceptive and I don't think should be allowed. But that's just my opinion. Okay, and so no one else I can see. Streeting should come up, shouldn't he? Yeah, Wes Streeting, Secretary of State for Health and Social Care in the UK. Peter Thiel, as I already mentioned. Lawrence Summers, I've heard of him. Charles W. Eliot, University Professor, Harvard University. And that's it that jumps out. I think I've had a little bit more time and I could... Eric Schmidt. They did say that pretty much everyone involved in big tech, or every company involved in big tech, what have you, AI specifically, is represented there, but Elon Musk isn't. And Tony Gosling and his reporter felt that it's probably because Elon Musk is quite flamboyant and likes to be very public about what he does, and these people rather keep things a bit quieter. So there you go, Bilderberg going on as we speak today. So bilderbergmeetings.org, and you can just navigate to the press release for 2025 and the participants 2025 from there, and take a little bit longer over it if you wish. There's no the post-truth world. There's whether they've picked up on that ominous title from a few years ago from the agenda of topics discussed, which came out just before COVID, funnily enough. Funny that, isn't it? And the titles I read out, there was all a bit turgid and boring, weren't there? Not a real juicy one like that. What could they mean by the post-truth world? Well, I think many of us witnessed what they actually mean. And there you go. Okay, so let's see. I think that's about it with shows and stuff that I was going to run through. So, apart from this, all right. It's always, do you be critical of something or do you leave it alone? There's a guy who's very popular called Dollar Vigilante, okay? And I find his shows, when they get going, really, they can be quite interesting. And he talks of things that, you know, a lot of other people won't talk about. And when it comes to shows, if you want to hear the sort of stuff that you couldn't broadcast in places like the UK, I'm not talking about threats of violence or threats to kill or anything like that, which I wouldn't want to listen to anyway, but talking about topics that are made very difficult for people to talk about in places like the UK, then pretty much everything that does that is coming out of America. Although my favourite news roundup show of the week is the Eyes is Watching show with Steve Eyes that I get off odyssey.com. That's brilliant. I never miss a week of that, and it goes up generally over the weekend, but sometimes you just have to check Eyes is Watching on odyssey.com. I check it every day. Whenever it's up there, it's worth checking it every day, because when it comes up, it's always worth a listen. And I've even caught the way he does it on video. If you like video, this is a guy who knows how to do video. It's not just him talking to the camera. He has all sorts of clips that he brings up and that as well. So you can tell he puts a tremendous amount of effort into it. So that I have to put as the best news roundup show of the week for me. But going back to Dollar Vigilante, he keeps pushing on every episode I've heard thus far some sort of Tesla machine. And it's nothing to do with Elon Musk, but it's apparently, it sounds a bit like the old Royal Raymond Rife stuff, harnessing some sort of energy to miraculously cure any adverse medical condition one might have. Okay? Now, I don't like grifting, as you know, folks. And funnily enough, Steve Quayle, his show that I praised with Doug Hagman from last week, I tuned in again this week, and the first half hour they had the woman from the satellite phone store on and kept babbling about that all through the show. So there you go. But back to Dollar Vigilante, this machine he keeps touting costs about 12 grand, okay? And I mean, I certainly, and I imagine you have as well, you know, you might buy this supplement or that supplement and someone's promoted it and it costs you, you know, 20, 30 pounds, something like that, whatever. And I don't know if that did anything. I'm not going to bother again. But you can kind of write that off. But when you're pushing something that costs that amount of money, I distrust it, I'm afraid. I really do. And the way he does it is when he gets any criticism, he's like, oh, well, you know, you don't want to be in our club. You can go your way. I don't care. And it's done in that certain way that you're leaving yourself out. You're missing out by not spending this exorbitant amount of money on something. But if you look at his most recent show, it's on Rumble. It's came out yesterday. It's called False Flag Riots, All Set Up, Planned, and Staged to Bring in the AI Orwellian Police State. There are some comments in there. There's no doubt trolls in there spouting vitriol and things that I don't like. But there's a lot of people complaining about this Tesla machine he keeps talking about. So I'm not alone in that. And it does... I looked at it today. Shall I download it? Shan't I download it? What I've taken to is as soon as I hear, like I hear the word satellite phone, I just whack the file I'm listening to forward until they stop. And if I miss a few minutes of them talking about something other than satellite phones from when I re-listen, well, I've just missed that bit. That's it. I leave that up to God. But I'm not going to listen to grift. I'm not prepared to tolerate that. And so as soon as I hear this guy, the good thing about it is he tends to leave the Tesla stuff till the end of the show. And as soon as he starts talking about that, that's when I tune out, because he adds that on to the end. Something that Mike Adams does on his show. He tends to leave the promotion of his products till the end of the show. But there you go. Other than that, it's quite an interesting show to listen to, Dollar Vigilante. But again, I said what I just said, and I explained why I feel the way I feel. Okay, so let's see what the... I found of interest in the news since last week's show. So I've only got a few articles, but I've got a little bit to say about each of them. So we'll just go over here. Just clicking on this. I don't know why we're not opening this. Here it is. I'm in the right folder now. So the first one is Baba Vanga. You remember this psychic that the mainstream media like talking about, apparently predicted an event that was going to happen at a prophecy that's going to happen at a major televised 2025 event. So it could be any major event coming up in 2025, and it's a UFO appearing over the event, allowing humanity to meet extraterrestrials for the first time. And this was reported in the mainstream media this week, and I found this quite interesting because it tags in quite neatly with Project Bluebeam. And when we see all these things that are being done around the world at the moment, and then a great distraction comes along while they can finish off their nefarious activities, so that kind of made me think. And then we had a quite nice story about a pensioner in London who went shopping in Tesco's with a parrot on his shoulder. And the parrot was... someone asked him, you know, why the parrot... why he lets it do that? Might it not fly off? And he told the person that she does what she wants. And the parrot was 12 years old and quite happy, sitting on his shoulder going around the shops. So that was quite a nice thing to look at. It's a Daily Mail article. It's called Parrot's Shopping Trip. There's videos in it if you want to look at it. And there, just have a look for that yourself. Okay. Now, comments are always very revealing things in mainstream media, to the extent that they know the type of comments they're going to get for a story. To the extent that on some occasions they put, sorry, we are not currently accepting comments on this article, because they know that it's going to be unpopular and they know it's going to go against what they are trying to convey. So they just say that, which I think is quite revealing. But so this article, I should have given you the headline first. I'm the health... it's Daily Mail, by the way, funnily enough. Headline: I'm the healthiest person I know, but I've been hit with bowel cancer at 39. My surgeon revealed intriguing reason why. Okay, so I've no idea of this girl's health history or what have you, but I'm interested in the best rated comments. Now, this... the best rated comment when I saw it, 664 upvotes, 197 downvotes now, is no longer the best rated. It's about the second, I think. But I'll just read it to you. It's from Icon Fiber Jute in Windsor, Canada, 1 week ago, so probably came out pretty close to the article coming out, because this last I'm Talking To You show was a week ago, wasn't it? Their comment: absolutely, my dear, your doctor is a true scientist. Oh, just one little thing. Did he by any chance look into the tiny possibility that all these explosion of cancer cases might have a different root cause? Right off the top of my head, I was just hit by the idea that something major and very different happened in the past 3 to 4 years, as in some experimental but mandatory shots. You know, just an idea. And that's got 664 upvotes and 197 downvotes. But since that was the top comment, there is a new top comment from just somebody in York, again, a week ago. Well, that wasn't the top when I looked at it, so this seemed to have come out very quickly. And it's got 866 upvotes and only 35 downvotes, so it's a far more popular comment, and it's pushed the one I just read down from the top of the best rated. Well, have a listen to this. She has urged parents to stop feeding kids ultra processed foods. Did you know that the majority of vegan products on shelves are ultra processed? Research where corn comes from. Now, this fits in so much more, doesn't it, with the mainstream media narrative that they're doing at the moment. All these people with health problems, oh, it's processed foods. That's what's causing it. That's what we'll latch on to. So they'll point you any direction other than the obvious one. But as I always say on this show, you be the judge. Occam's razor is the principle I adopt. And I can see when this spike in all these health problems happened and what happened just before that. And I make my own judgment on that, and I'm not going to be steered by a nefarious mainstream media that I do not trust at all. The George Orwell estate has put trigger warnings at the start of 1984. It said that the protagonist in the book, Winston Smith, he's problematic, and some people might find his views on women despicable. And it's quite funny, because people have commented on it and said, you know, well, a writer, American writer called Walter Kern, which I haven't heard of, he said, we're getting someone to actually convict George Orwell himself of thought crime. We're not yet in a world where books and classic books are being excised or eliminated. Well, I would argue with that, as my book, The Synagogue of Satan, was taken down from Amazon. He said the Orwell estate-approved edition of 1984 had been published with an apology for itself. And someone else has said that this trigger warning in the introduction is the most 1984-ish thing I've ever effing read. Let's move on to... oh, we talked about this game show before. Game show, apparently. This is the game show for today. Now, when I was younger, in the 1970s, there was a game show called Mr. and Mrs. And I think that you probably had it wherever you are in the world, your version of it. A man was asked a series of questions. Well, he was presented with a series of scenarios and asked what his wife would do in that situation. And then he had to answer those questions, and then she was asked, and if the answers matched, then you got the most points and you could go on to win, and vice versa, she was asked what he would do in certain situations, stuff like that. So that was the way that they dealt with married couples on a quiz show, the most sort of common thing. Well, I've mentioned before about this show called Open House, The Great Sex Experiment. It's on Channel 4, which I understand receives government funding. And a headline from the Daily Mail: man vomits after being told he has to let partner sleep with another man in jaw-dropping first look at Open House, The Great Sex Experiment. That is how this country has declined over the years. And it's things like this that are done in order to ensure that we become such a despicable people that the salvation of God is not available to us, because why would he want to save a people that carry on like this? And then the last one I've got for you is, again, a Daily Mail gem. Urgent Glastonbury warning over world's most contagious disease. Experts fear major festival could be a super spreader. There's been lots of talk, haven't there, about COVID, what have you. Well, this isn't COVID. That was a headline I just read to you. It's apparently measles. But get this. This is... I'll just scroll down. There's a headline, a paragraph here. Well, Dr. Simon Clark, an infectious disease expert at the University of Reading, told Mail Online Glastonbury could be a super spreader event. Many attendees had likely grown up when a now thoroughly debunked study in the late 90s falsely linked the MMR jab to autism and subsequently scared many parents from getting children the vaccine, he added. Well, again, you be the judge, folks. How many people did you grow up with autism? I didn't know anybody. I was born in 1973, but now it's all over the place. And you have to look at what was done differently since when you were born and when subsequent generations were born. What was done to them that wasn't done to you? And then you use the process of Occam's razor. The most likely solution is, you know, what was the change? And the change is probably the reason for the result. Then to dismiss vaccines just out of hand like that is disgraceful. But I will say this. I had the MMR vaccine and I had to literally beg for it, because when I joined the police, you had to have certain vaccines to join. Hepatitis was one, because you might touch a needle, and so you had to have them before you started, and I don't know if you had to show certificates or what have you, but I was up on vaccines. This would have been, what, 2002? I was like, well, I never had the MMR because that didn't come out when I was younger, so I want that. And my doctor said, well, I don't think you need it. And I said, well, I want it. And it went back and forth, and in the end, they agreed to give it to me at the surgery, but I had to pay a prescription charge, which generally you don't have to do for a vaccine. And it's not caused me any problems. And as I say, but I had it in 2002, which would have been when I was 29, coming up to 30, whereas I think that they're being given this as babies. So maybe the doctor knew more about it, and maybe it's not going to be as effective as it's supposed to be, whatever that effect is supposed to be. We'll just leave that there. But again, yeah, the absolutely desperate. There's absolutely no reason not to just put thoroughly debunked. Well, it's not thoroughly debunked. I don't debunk it. I can't say yes or no, but I see that. I mentioned this before. There was a drama with the guy at The Professionals in, Martin Shaw, Judge John Deed. And I just so happened to buy a DVD of, I think it was series 4 or series 5. And it had a little note at the bottom that a couple of episodes were not broadcast because they criticised the vaccine. I believe it was MMR. And they had a whole story of a, because each story was a courtroom drama. And presumably it was one where someone proved that there was something wrong with the vaccine. Ooh, the big no-no there. We can't have that. And so even the BBC production, on its DVD release, these episodes were not allowed to be released. And I read that to you on an episode of this show from the back of the DVD. So you look at these people with this power and you think, it's just drama. Why are you so keen to... Why is it so important to you? And... I think that I'm pretty convinced of the reasons why they have to silence any sort of criticism of that. Okay, so let's have a look and see what's going on in the mainstream media right now. We'll go over to Associated Press, APnews.com first. Iran retaliates after Israeli strikes target its nuclear program and military. That is the top story. Cities brace for large crowds at anti-Trump No Kings demonstrations across the US. Now, this is one of these things that it could be a big nothing burger, or this could be the start of the civil war that many people have said is going to happen. Many independent alternative media commentators have said will be happening at some point in the United States and could even be the reason for the Deagle.com figures. I don't think so, because we get an even bigger hit here in the UK on the Deagle.com figures. I think we get 78% drop and America gets 70% drop in their population. So I would be looking at an event that's going to be more global and certainly targeting Western countries. But again, it's worth watching. People have been talking that I've been listening to throughout the week about cities having pallets of bricks delivered and stuff like that. You know my feelings. I don't believe, if anything's going on, they're all in on it. They all know what's going on. And there you have it. But it's worth watching. And I hope it doesn't develop, because I don't want anyone listening to be impacted by rioting and civil unrest where they live. But watch this space. It's a story that a lot of people have been talking about for a great deal of time in the last week on the independent media. I haven't listened to most of the shows. I've just read the headlines of them, and sometimes that's enough that you need. Okay, so let's move on to the BBC and have a look at their top 10 stories right now. Okay, so this is their top 10 most read. Scrolling down. Number 10, I used to spend £50 there. What's gone wrong at Poundland? Well, Poundland was a shop where everything in there was a pound. But of course, all the inflation and the price rises with COVID and all this sort of stuff, they've had to start charging more for products. So you can't just pick it up and it's a pound anymore. There's some things that still are. Very few and far between, but it was sold for £1, a nominal sum, to an investment group earlier in the week. It's a shop that I frequent quite a bit, but not so much as I used to, probably for the reason I just gave. And I remember people saying at the time that they were kind of painting themselves into a corner as they launched, because everything goes up over time, so it's not you're only going to have a limited amount of years that you're going to be able to keep selling that stuff for a pound each. In the late 80s, for a long while, it was £2.88. I remember £2.88 for a McDonald's meal, and that is when you get a Big Mac, regular fries, and a regular drink, or medium drink, medium fries, something like that, for £2.88. And now you're looking at about £7 or £8 for that. So things always go up. So anyway, then we've got the terrifying moment when Air India plane crashed into a canteen. Of course, we had a sole survivor of that. I've been waiting to hear conspiracy theories on that coming out in the, you know, independent media from the sort of clickbait people who would, you know, how come one man walked away? There was a it reminded me of a James Herbert book called The Survivor, where a guy survives the plane crash and he just walks out unscathed. I believe he was one of the pilots. It's a very, very good book. It's one of his best books, one of his lesser known, but one of his earlier ones, called The Survivor. And, of course, this guy, you know, walked out and everyone else perished in the crash, sadly. Number 8, black box found at Air India crash site as families wait for answers. A couple of things that they were pushing straight away was either a bird strike or the flaps had failed. The flaps are probably more likely, because the bird strike would have to hit at least two engines, wouldn't it? But the flaps might be on, you know, certainly one control somewhere. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. Love Island's Georgia Harrison. I reread my MBE letter 3 times. I haven't heard of her, but we will be getting into that shortly. All Out War and Luke Little as MBE. Well, he's the dart sensation, that youngest ever champion, world champion of darts at the age of 17. He's now 18. And yeah, he got an MBE. And that's below an OBE. MBE is a member of the British Empire. OBE is Order of the British Empire. Neither of them would interest me, to be quite frank, but there you go. Number 5, Mood Swings fueled Heston Blumenthal's genius, but the highs got higher and the lows got darker. Well, he's a cook that I believe puts, like, weird things together. So he'll put something you might find in a dessert with something you might find in a main course. A bit like ham and pineapple pizza, which actually works for me, but a lot more peculiar, in my opinion. I wouldn't fancy it anyway. Number 4, global oil prices soar after Israel attacks Iran. Number 3, Israel-Iran strikes. What are the worst-case scenarios? Number 2, more than 30,000 lightning strikes recorded overnight. I imagine that's in the UK because we've had a great hot period. And, you know, sometimes you get a load of thunderstorms after that. And that's what has been happening here overnight. Didn't hit me too much here in London, although it did say London was going to be impacted. Number 1, Gary Oldman and Strictly host joined Beckham in honours. So, Gary Oldman is now Sir Gary Oldman. He got his knighthood. A lot of people wouldn't have predicted that for a Marlon Brando-style comment he made a few years ago. But since then, he may have redeemed himself with his favourable portrayal of Winston Churchill. And certainly he's quite happy to receive the knighthood. And David Beckham has also become Sir David Beckham. And that's something that I understand he's been after for a while, according to the mainstream media. There was talk that he hadn't received it because he was involved in some sort of, it was something to do with business, was it to do with tax? It was something that I read, but it doesn't really matter now. He's got it. He's now Sir David Beckham. I imagine him and his wife, Victoria, are going to be quite happy with that because they, any royal event that they seem to get invited to, they always seem to turn up for. And he famously queued for, was it like 13 hours, something like that, David Beckham, to pay tribute, to walk past the Queen's coffin when she was lying in state. So there you go. You have to credit him for that. He didn't try and, like some TV presenters we might mention, you know, get a pass where they could get in a fast track and do it that way. He was prepared to queue up with all the public. Okay, so that's Daily Mail. Sorry, that's BBC. Let's have a look at Daily Mail briefly. It's been quite a long show, hasn't it? I hope that I've not been boring you, and this has been of interest. Let me see. Yeah, it's just the independent media we look at then, isn't it? And then we look at the Before It's News Top 10. Oh, we're 47 minutes. Okay. Peter, I'll say it now, for those of you who don't remember, no Peter again this Tuesday, but we're hoping, not hoping, it's scheduled, it should happen the Tuesday after, which I believe is the 24th. So if I don't get any additional donations in, you'll still have the traditional Christian message tomorrow, this show and that show. I do for free, as I do the show with Peter, but I don't do any show when he's not here. So, yeah, it'll be next Saturday, the next I'm Talking To You show. But I think I need about £40 in donations. If that comes in, which it might do, then I will put something out for you earlier along with next Saturday's show. But it's up to you. So the top story on the Daily Mail is Iran lands direct hit to Israel's Pentagon as Iron Dome falters and death toll begins to mount. So there you go. I mean, it's very difficult to talk about this in the UK because one side seems to be favoured in the mainstream media over the other. And also, they have a habit now of, if they do get a bit of a bloody nose in something and they get a lot of damage, they like not to report it because it makes them lose face, stuff like that. But yeah, it's worth following this and seeing how it develops. You know, there are some people that, I mean, if you want to know about Iran being this big hater of Israel, talk to Brendan O'Connell, because he went over there to work for one of their big news publications. We're always told in the mainstream media, oh, these are anti-Semitic, all this sort of stuff. And he couldn't believe the rhetoric he got there, which was just like the mainstream media over here. So he felt that the whole Israel and Iran massive enemies was just one of these fallacies. Probably built up for a situation like we're seeing today. My feeling is that every country. There's no wild cards. They're all controlled. Even the likes of something like North Korea that people say, well, you know, that guy, I mean, Kim Jong-un, he's odd, you know, you can't control him. He's a madman. He's like a James Bond villain, stuff like that. No, I think that they all are controlled. And I think that whenever you see these conflicts, all you're doing is witnessing theatre, which, again, may add validity to the Night Shadow show about, is this the World War III? Well, this guy claimed that what World War III was going to be fought between Islam and political Zionism, I believe were the words of Albert Pike in that letter to Giuseppe Mazzini that many people claim is a fake and all this sort of stuff. Well, if it happens that way, it was scripted that way, wasn't it? Because this guy said it was over 100 years ago. Right. So there you go. We will see. I hope it's not going to happen because it's going to impact all of us, isn't it? But we'll watch this space. Oh, we'll read this second one down because it's about that British Air India plane crash survivor's astonishing first words to his father as he emerged from the wreckage are revealed as more bodies are recovered and death toll rises to 279. I believe there were 274 on the plane, so we know it crashed into a building. And so presumably some people in there sadly died as well. But it was funny because when you look at the footage, so this big Boeing Dreamliner jet, it crashes into a two-story building and the plane's still sticking out of it and the building's intact. I thought, what was that thing that happened in New York when a plane that was smaller than that crashed into a what, over 100-story building? And the whole building ended up collapsing? Not one, but two. It was the third one, wasn't there? Wasn't there a third one that didn't even get hit? Yeah, it's funny that. How a bigger plane can hit a building that's two stories and that two-story building's still standing. Yeah, an over 100-story one doesn't. Again, you be the judge. Think for yourselves. Okay, let's move on to the Independent News, RT.com. Have a look at that this week, because Ukraine and Russia conflict is conveniently out of the loop. They've got live updates, column at the top, row rather. Iran fires missiles at Tel Aviv after Israeli strikes, live updates. You can click on RT.com. Top story, unprecedented escalation between Israel and Iran. What we know so far. Well, all right, I will say this. And as I say, you have to be so careful in the UK what you can and can't say. But Iran claims not to have had a nuclear weapon. But Israel says that they're building one. Well, Israel's got nuclear weapons, but they don't admit to having them. So isn't that somewhat hypocritical that you start attacking a country that's not done anything to you? But what's more revealing is the way that we see the mainstream media reporting this. And when you consider the pager attacks, for me, I can sum up Donald Trump simply by this. You had the Israeli government admit that they were behind putting bombs in pagers, that a complete terrorist act, that children were injured by all sorts of people. And it was, you know, you could be in a supermarket, you might be a tourist in one of these countries, you've got nothing to do with this. One guy that Israel don't like has got a pager in his pocket that blows up and you could be injured or killed by that. They don't care. And Netanyahu gave Trump a solid gold pager when he went to visit him. And Trump accepted that. What Trump should have done is said that's disgusting and refused to accept it. But the fact that he went along with it and accepted it, that is me. That's Donald Trump done for me. Because that is terrorism. And the way that that was framed in the news was, oh, that's quite an audacious attack. Ooh, aren't they clever? And, yeah, I'm sick of this one-sided rhetoric that I'm getting. Okay, so Israeli strikes on Iran completely unprovoked. That's the second headline down, according to Moscow. Putin's been talking to both sides. I remember reading that on RT yesterday. He's had a nice chat with Netanyahu and a nice chat with the guy in Iran. Is that Khomeini? Whatever. So, yeah, again, it's all one big club and we're not in it, but I wouldn't want to be associated with the likes of these people anyway, so I'm quite happy to be outside of it. Rents.com. Okay, let's scroll down and see what's going on here. A couple of tributes to Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys here. I did actually read, because the David Kavanagh, the great rock writer, he wrote a book called The Greatest Rock and Roll Scandals, and there was a feature on the Beach Boys in there. And I read it, and it was overlong, and it was a bit boring, to be honest. So there was, again, if there had been any bits in it about, let's see what I can recollect. Basically, a few of them had a drug problem, and Brian Wilson was one of them. And they think he also had problems with depression, and he had a pretty difficult last few decades. There was one interesting quip that apparently it's alleged that he had a sand pit built in his house, and that was what I read from this book the other day, because he put his piano in it because he liked to turn his feet in the sand while he was sort of writing his songs. But unfortunately, the animals in his house used it as a toilet, so it didn't last very long. And then, in order to get away from all the problems with drugs and that in America, they went to Holland, which is a pretty bizarre choice, although I'm not sure if, cannabis was available as freely back when they went over, which I believe in the 1970s. But in order to do it, they couldn't find any studios over there that they wanted, so they had a studio built in the States and then completely dismantled and shipped to Holland, where it was rebuilt, so they could build it in the States, make sure everything worked the way it wanted, and then ship it over. And they had a couple of attempts to get him to Holland, and he kept getting off the plane. And the second time, they found that he'd asked to get off the plane quickly, and they found his seat empty with his passport on it, but apparently they got him there on a subsequent flight. So I don't know if they flew the passport back or what have you. So there's some interesting stories about Brian Wilson. But for me, the Beach Boys, there's an album called Summer Dreams, which is of greatest hits. And they do a version of California Dreamin' at the end, the famous Mamas and the Papas song. And that's a really good version. I really enjoyed that. So if you haven't heard that, check that out. I know we always think of things like Surfing USA and what have you, Good Vibrations, things like that. But that's something that's stood out to me anyway, if you are interested. Okay, so let's move on to... here we are. This is Rents again, about the Air India crash. Let's see what he has to say about it. Air India crash, planes flaps do not look down for proper takeoff and lift. Photos tell the story. How could this have happened? So there you go. Let's move on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Excuse me. Updated, Iran missile impacts Tel Aviv. Israel launches unprovoked sneak attack on Iran. Now, I was following this thread yesterday, and it's still adding to the same thread. So it started, this is his time, Eastern, and he's got the AI overview of terrorism, and he claims that what Israel has done to Iran is the very booked definition of terrorism. That's the first line of, it's under the AI overview section in the article. And then I'm just scrolling down. His live coverage began at 1:24 a.m. Eastern time yesterday. And that went on all through yesterday, I believe. Yeah, because then we've got 9:57 a.m. EDT. And it goes, let's see where it ends up. There's a premium content section at the bottom about Jericho missiles. And the last update was at, well, it's a few images. I can't see where the last update was, I'm afraid. I should have, I'll just go into these sites. But you can have a look at that page. 1:52 p.m. EDT, which is probably this morning, which would make it, only a few hours ago. What was it? It was 4 something Eastern time when I started the show. Okay, let's go on to earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. See what he has going on over here. He's got a little comment at the top. He's got a video. It was a setup. How Trump colluded with Israel to bomb Iran. I read somewhere that, my mind's gone blank with his name. You know, the guy I mean. Rubio. He actually came out. Very odd statement if you look it up. Something like, well, we weren't involved. We do support Israel, but, you know, we weren't involved in Iran, so don't do anything to us. Do you know what I mean? It was a strange statement, but there's a video here. How Trump colluded with Israel to bomb Iran. It's a 24-minute video by Navarro Media, and you can get that directly at earthnewspaper.com. And after my experiments with Rumble earlier, when I was trying to find the best way to get to the Night Shadows show for you, you're better off starting off with a third party like earthnewspaper.com or before it's news.com than trying to look something like this on Rumble, because you might not find it directly on the Rumble platform, whereas you'll find it on something else linking to it. So bear that in mind. Not a day passes when I don't go through all the websites I go through with you on this show myself, and with the likes of earthnewspaper.com and before it's news.com, I'll generally go in some later in the day, because I'm looking there for things like videos that, because everything's video these days, very rare, just MP3, so you have to download it, convert it, that sort of stuff. I'm looking for that of interest, and I may well be looking at this How Trump Colluded with Israel to Bomb Iran 24-minute video by Navarro Media later, if I get through everything else that I, have to watch. Okay, so let's finish off with the Before It's News Top 10. Let's have a little drink of water. See what's going on over here. Again, I looked at it earlier. All I found was that Night Shadow show, which I'll be listening to. So scroll down to number 10. Well, up 7 hours ago, 116 people viewing. WTPN situation update, 6:13:25. Trump's executive orders, Gitmo update, Trump's global military alliance, EBS activation, 10 days of exposure begin. I generally leave the date out when I read out the headline, but I'm going to start putting them in just so you can see if it's how recent it is, if it interests you. Number 9 went up 6 hours ago, 123 people viewing. Wano Savin, it's over, 6:14:25. Trump's military handlers gave green light video. Number 8 went up 13 hours ago, 135 people viewing. And we know, 6:13:2025, Trump card, huge military movements, darkness, scare tactics while D's falling. Number 7 went up 6 hours ago, 142 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, military at DEFCON 1 for nuclear holocaust. Deep state insurrection, 6:14:25. Number 6 went up 14 hours ago, 150 people viewing. David Nino and Wano Savin breaking. Israel bombs Iran. Tehran on fire and US in chaos. Number 5 went up 6 hours ago, 161 people viewing. News treason. Major Intel, 6:14:25. Trump's boldest move yet. Mass arrests are here. Number 4 went up 10 hours ago, 193 people viewing. New Benjamin Fulford, urgent emergency, 6:13:2025. They were all executed at Gitmo. He's got that show back into the top 10 for the first time for a few weeks, so congratulations there, Benjamin. Number 3 went up 13 hours ago, 210 people viewing. Padre Pio reveals, put salt in these 5 corners of your home and witness the power of God. Number 2 went up 13 hours ago, 323 people viewing. 35 secret insights from the Akashic Records to enable your inner power. Never heard of the Akashic Records, folks. 2025, sorry, I forgot the last word. 2025, so these Akashic Records are apparently now current, in other words. And number 1 went up 13 hours ago, 353 people viewing. 100 teachings of Thoth you have never heard about. Well, I have never heard about Thoth, so there you go. I want to thank all of you for joining me today for I'm Talking To You, episode 234, All Asimov and No Fresh Air. traditional Christian message tomorrow that I'll be recording at the moment. And if I don't see you till next week, have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.